Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Marla Alapoiche has received degrees in English and Communication from Purdue University. She also has a Master of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. She and her husband have founded a marriage ministry called Leap of Faith Ministries. She's also an author. And today on Life Quest, we're going to talk to her about her book, Prayer Warrior Mom. Welcome to Life Quest, Marla.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I need to start out by asking you, why did you write this book at this time?
God moved me to write this book because as I became a mother several years ago and began to interact more with young moms especially, I realized that many moms just did not feel equipped to pray for their children, and so few young moms really have a background in Scripture and a knowledge of Scripture, and so I really wanted to be able to share with them and just give them an important framework for praying and make it easy for them by giving them model prayers and scriptures and study questions to use if they wanted to use the book in a small group discussion setting.
You know, this parenting thing's a bit scary.
It is scary.
And I've got four girls, and each one is different and has different needs, and each have a different relationship with the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. I discovered that. I have a son who was a preemie and was diagnosed last year with a condition called pervasive development disorder. Mm-hmm. And he was only 5 months old when I discovered that I was pregnant again and had a daughter. So I essentially had two newborns and was trying to juggle a ministry and writing books and found that very challenging. So I definitely empathize with other moms who are multitasking.
I think all too often, even amongst Christian mothers, prayer usually just is, help me, Lord, get through this. But you're talking about more than that.
Right. I think especially with moms just being so busy and having so many more demands on us, prayer tends to take a back seat. But I realize that prayer is the number one most important thing that we can do for our kids. And also, I realize that control is an illusion. As moms, we want to be able to control and protect our kids and manage their environment and keep them away from anything that would be harmful. But only God could do that. And especially for me in the process of having to release my son to the Lord and his healing, God just changed my heart. And I wanted to share in this book, Prayer Warrior Mom, the principles and stories and the ways that God has changed me and challenged me and taught me to make prayer first rather than last.
You said something I think is very important, this business of giving up control and giving control over to the Lord. On the one hand, that's scary, but for Christians, that should also be a relief, shouldn't it?
It should, because we don't control anything anyway, and we need to be able to give that over to God. I mean, He owns our children. We do not own them. So it releases us from the burden of guilt and responsibility when we're able to do that. And I think, too, sometimes God pries our hands off of things that we hold on to too tightly. Yeah. And I never want that to happen in my life. I think sometimes our children can even become idols to us when we put them in the place of God. And God doesn't want us to put anything in his place. He has first place. So he's been teaching me that lesson, and that can be a hard lesson to learn, but it does give us just peace and relief when we're able to give it over to God and realize that he owns everything.
And you know, Marla, many times I've discovered the things that I worry about the most, I can't personally do anything about anyway.
Right, that's right. And one of the things I talk about in Prayer Warrior Mom is just how we can go from being worriers to warriors. You know, there's just one letter difference, but what a great difference when we can give our worries to the Lord and just let him carry our kids. And one of the chapters of my book is about holding our children loosely and being able to release them. And I also talk about how to cultivate an attitude of gratitude in your home, how to stand in the gap for your kids, how to pray with power and authority, and that is a chapter that has been very influential. I learned so much about praying with the power and authority of Jesus Christ, and that power and authority are not the same thing. And often we tend to think that they're the same thing. So I feel that that chapter really has a lot to offer to moms who are especially struggling to release their kids to the Lord.
Going back to your very first chapter, and I'm sure as you put things together and you develop these 15 principles of prayer and parenting, and yet you chose as chapter number one, it's titled Cultivate an Attitude of Gratitude. You talk about how within months you learned that your child had some situations that needed to be dealt with, and yet how can you maintain an attitude of gratitude through this?
Well, I learned that we may not always feel grateful for everything that happens, but we can be grateful in everything that happens. And, you know, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have Jesus with us, and he carries us, and he is the one who gave me hope in so many dark situations. I also experienced postpartum depression and just walked through a really long, dark valley with that. And the hope that I had in Christ really was my anchor. And many times I had to learn to be thankful and pray even when I didn't feel like it. And sometimes our emotions are a gift, but sometimes they can be a curse too. And we have to be careful to balance our emotions with what we know to be true about God. And so I had to just come back to his word and pray it and claim it and believe it and pray it over my children and trust that if I remain faithful in that, that God would restore those natural emotions in me that I felt like I had lost.
In chapter 4, you talk about satisfying the conditions for answered prayer. What are some of those conditions?
I think this is a fascinating chapter. Often we don't hear this talked about much, but the Lord does give us conditions under which prayers are answered and then some conditions under which they are not answered. And first is approaching God with an attitude of humble submission. James says, submit to God and Satan will flee from you. And so submission is important. Also, coming to God with pure motives. James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And sometimes we have blinders on when it comes to our children. We have an idea of what we want for them, but that may not be the same as what God wants for them. And so we have to ask for God's will to be done. And also, we don't want to ask for anything that contradicts God's word. If God's word clearly says that something is true or something is right, then we don't want to pray for anything for our children that goes against that. Some of the others are to have faith without doubting, to be single-minded. The Lord says not to be double-minded and unstable in your ways. And as I mentioned, praying for God's will to be done, coming boldly to his throne with confidence, and praying to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit, confessing and repenting of sin, and then forgiving others, which is critical. And he even says to when we're coming to the Lord's Supper, if we have anything against anyone, to leave your gift at the altar and reconcile that. And so when we come to him in prayer, we want to be sure that we have a heart of grace and forgiveness toward others.
But you know, Marla, I'm going to pick on one of these, and that is the pure motive part. It's hard to analyze our own motives, isn't it?
It is. And I believe as mothers, too, we, in some ways, we love our children more than anyone else but on earth. But also, we can sometimes have blind spots when it comes to our children. We see them differently than other people see them, and sometimes we want to try to push them in a direction that is not according to their bent or may not be what God wants for them. And I found myself in that situation where I was praying for something, and it wasn't happening, and over time, God revealed that he had a different plan, or he said, pray for my will to be done, because I was praying for my will to be done. And so he uses prayer to soften our heart and direct us toward him, and to break our will and soften our spirits toward him and show him, show us that he might be doing something different in our lives than what we had expected.
Sometimes we actually convince ourselves that we're doing or thinking or praying for our children, but it's really our will, isn't it, and what we want rather than what's best for our kids.
That's right. And in our culture, I think we've become so used to praying selfish prayers and prayers where it's basically God is like a cosmic genie in the sky. We're just asking for what we want, that it's a process of learning what prayer truly is and is not, and just making praise central to it and just being open to what God wants to do in our children and just praying for guidance and direction each day. So praying, God, you show me, rather than me telling you what to do, you show me what to do.
Sometimes you suggest that mothers are afraid of praying wrong. Do you mean in the wrong way or the wrong things? Or
yes, I think both. I've had several friends who had grown up in religious settings where just rote prayers were repeated, and they didn't know how to just come up with a prayer on their own, or they were taught that you're supposed to just pray a memorized prayer, and you can't actually pray, you know, just pray to God on your own.
Yes.
So, but really there's no one right way or wrong way to pray, and we don't have to go through a priest or any kind of mediator, because Christ is our mediator, and we can just talk to him like we would to a best friend.
Many mothers may be thinking, you know, I'm unbelievably busy, and the kids are demanding all the time, and yet you're talking about spending more and more time in prayer, and about the time they start the prayer, they find they've drifted off to sleep. How do we learn to love prayer?
Well, I've learned that God has really transformed my quiet times when I became a mom. I try to just steal moments whenever I'm able to, and sometimes the time I had set aside to be able to pray, I'm not able to because my son has a need or something happens. So we're trying to just make up the time and fit it in here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, the most important thing is not whether we spend time with him in the morning or at night. It's just whenever it works for you. Sometimes I lift up sentence prayers, and I pray with my kids at random moments if there's a need. It's very important for us to let our kids hear us praying about situations and pray for them. And I'll ask them sometimes, here, just hold my hand and let's pray about this situation and just pray for wisdom. So prayer is not another task to add to our to-do list. In fact, it gives us so much freedom and allows us to just release the demands of our day to the Lord.
In chapter 8, you suggest, as we have read often in the scriptures, about being persistent in prayer. And how do we deal with that without falling into a trap that's saying that we have to somehow persuade God to finally do it the way we'd like to, or the way he should, or something like that? How do we balance that out? And what does the persistence mean?
Persistence means just to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. The Lord says that those prayers will be rewarded. And
yes.
I love this chapter. In this chapter, I discuss a parable that's often left out or often confused, and it's about, Jesus told a parable about a man whose friend comes to him and in the middle of the night and ask for bread. And he says that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And that is supposed to be a picture of God. So I love that because he says, come with shameless audacity. And we ask, I mean, sometimes we have to ask big. Mm-hmm. I have to ask big with my son with autism spectrum disorder.
Yes.
We're praying for him to be fully recovered, and that is a huge undertaking. You know, every day his behavior and care and diet and therapy have to be managed. So it's not that it's not a lot of work on our end, but God is sovereign over the body and the mind and the soul and spirit. And I cannot heal my son, but he can. And so that's an example of how we have to pray big. And I found in situations, sometimes the repeated asking changes me or makes me realize that that thing is not God's will. I have an example where my husband had applied for a new job. And it seemed like the perfect fit. And he had interview after interview. He had 5 interviews for the same job.
Mm-hmm.
And all along I was praying, God, let him get the job. Please give him
right.
the job, et cetera. And finally, one day, he said, pray for my will to be done.
Hmm.
Because all I had been praying was, God, let him get the job.
Yes.
So finally I started praying, God, if it's your will, let him get the job. If not, close the door. And my husband got a call the next day that he did not get it. And we were disappointed, but it just was so evident that that was not God's will for him at that time. And he's a consultant, so that job would have required 100% travel.
Yes.
And I had two children under the age of 2 plus a kid with special needs. So that job would not have worked out well for our family at that time. So it's a situation where, you know, God just had to break us of our desires and just shut that door. And by praying persistently, we see more how he's working, and he softens and shapes our hearts. I do sometimes believe that he will give us that just for the persistent knocking.
Mm-hmm.
But if he chooses not to, we have to believe that there's a reason
yes.
for that. And I believe that we will see that. It takes time. But in time, you will see the reason why he chose to shut that door.
And as we look back on life, some of us are very grateful the Lord didn't answer the prayers that we thought were so important.
Oh, yeah. I have many, many prayers like that myself.
On chapter 10, this is hard. I mean, I got kids from age 14 to 38, and it says, hold your children loosely. What does that mean? And it sounds scary.
Well, you know, the Lord has set things up so that we have to let go of our children little by little. I mean, sometimes it's in fits and spurts, and that's hard. But as they grow up, you know, they're maybe go to preschool or go to kindergarten, or as they learn how to ride a bike and do different things, we're so excited for them. But also it can be difficult, because especially as a mom, you see, oh, my child is not a baby anymore. My child is growing up. He or she's becoming more independent. They're not as dependent on me anymore. And maybe they don't want to cuddle with me as much
right.
anymore. And sometimes those things are difficult for children. But
mm-hmm.
my mother's example has really helped me with this, because she, there were 6 children in our family, and my oldest brother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has just always had such a victorious spirit. She's an amazing prayer warrior mom, and she has prayed for us so much. And I saw how she was just able to let my brother go and just focus on her other children and not dwell on that and not become angry at God.
Yes.
And seeing that, seeing her example has stuck with me, because I know that children get sick and things happen, and that I have to be prepared, you know, to someday give up my children. And that's something that we don't want to think about as moms. But, you know, God is sovereign over that. I've seen how he had used my brother's death to bring my mother to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and all the rest of us. And so that radically changed the direction of our lives.
Sure.
And that's the reason why all of us are believers today. So God can redeem even the most difficult and most horrible situations and bring something good out of it.
Marla, tell our listeners about how that what you're doing at the end of every chapter in the book.
At the end of each chapter, I have a model prayer, and it has, it begins, Dear Heavenly Father, and it gives an example prayer that moms can pray through. There are boxes that you can fill in. For example, I'm concerned about the following issues with my children.
You can name
your children. You can insert the specific issues. You can either just say them or write them down, and then it gives you ways to pray for them. And an example, bless my children today. It encourages them to look up the meanings of their children's names and use that in prayer. And I give ways to do that. And then there's a second section called the Sword of the Spirit, and each of that has 3 to 5 scriptures that relate to the topic in that book, and those can be used just to read for encouragement or photocopy and memorize.
Mm-hmm.
And pray through. And then after that, I have small group discussion questions. So I have about 4 or 5 questions related to each chapter, and the book is set up so it can be used for personal study or for a women's Bible study. And many area churches are starting Prayer Warrior Mom groups and starting to read through and pray through the book together and just share their experiences as moms, and we're so excited about that.
The book is Prayer Warrior Mom, Covering Your Kids with God's Blessing and Protection by Marla Alupoiche. Marla, where can people get a copy of this book?
It's available on the book website, which is prayerwarriormom.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Amazon or any Christian bookstore.
Thank you so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.